God is still good. I'm not going to have a scripture today. What I want to share is these three trusts that I've put up there, and then you'll see the scriptures. First trust is natural trust. That's number one. Second trust is the public trust. That's number two. The third trust is the spiritual trust. That's last, number three. However, you see that there's also a lawless, rebellious, anti-Christian operation that completely rebels against this little system that God has set up. Now, everything on God's left hand, everything over here on the left hand is related to God's left hand. So that'll be number one, and that will also be number two, and that will also be number three. So, two of those are trusts. One of them is no trust at all. And then number four, which I'm going to do in red for the blood of Jesus, number four will be the spiritual trust under his right hand. So the only thing under the right hand is God's spiritual trust. And this trust is complex. It starts out with the cross of Jesus, justification. Then it goes to the Holy Spirit, which I'll just do here, a little dove, and so on and so forth. And then it finally ends up with the bride ready to marry the bridegroom, Jesus, up here. Now, Jesus' cross is not the same as our cross. So when we believe in Jesus, we put all of our trust in him, then we take up our own cross, our own self-denial. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. There's the path. The path, then, of that spiritual trust is the foundation of the public trust and is the eternal aspect of God's plan, not the temporal. So the temporal is on this side, and the other is the eternal. So I'm going to make a line down the middle, because God divides his government into left and right. Whatever's under the left hand, Yad Semol, whatever is under the left hand is over here. So all of this is under the left hand. So let's see, run out of blue there. All of this is under the left hand and will be judged under the left hand. You can't read that. Let's see if we got a better blue. All right. So all of this is under the left hand. All of this is under the right hand in the red. So this will be special over here, completely different than everything over on that side. Now, that division between his government, between the left hand, Yad Samol, Hebrew, and under the right hand, Yad Yamim. So I want you to say Yad Yamim. So we're Yad Yamim. Everything under God's right hand is that which is eternal, spiritual, and completely holy, 100% holy. Now, obviously, that's by faith, because you can't see it. You cannot tell today that we're under his right hand and everybody else is under his left hand. Now, the confusion here is that Judaism fit somewhere in this picture under the left hand and yet also under the right hand. So it's a bit confusing. And so we could put Judaism, let me see what color will I use here. We'll put Judaism right here, kind of confusing things. And I'll put a little symbol here for Judaism. And Judaism is actually part of the whore, the harlot, married to God as his wife, and yet she committed adultery. And therefore, she hasn't moved outside the natural trust to become eternal. Nor is she able to produce, even though she's separated from the public trust, she's not able to actually make a new world. Why? Well, because the letter of the law killeth. So here, the letter of the law kills the flesh. Letter. So, but the spirit of the law, spirit, giveth life. So here, we're under the law of life in Christ Jesus, which has set us free from the law of sin and death. So this law here, here it's written on your heart, all men. Here it's only given to the Jewish people by revelation. So this revelation was never interpreted by Israel as the spirit of the law, which is the same thing as equity, but only by the letter of the law, which is the strict reading of the law in an external way. So I'll just put external there. Now, this strict or external reading means you give me lip service, but your heart's far from me. This is a new heart, a new soul, a new body. 1, 2, 3. Now, our focus here in the spiritual trust is that the only thing that can allow this to be stable and strong is the spiritual trust. But today, most of the governments of this world are under not the spiritual trust at all of Jesus. They're not influenced by it all. They're just building on human nature. So this would be man at his worst state, human nature. And this building on human nature is like building on sand. The shifting sand of time produces this kind of gates of hell that leads everyone into perdition, the lake of fire. But this one here, which is built on reason of man, still built on human nature, reason and its fruit, morals. But reason and morals, like everything under the law, makes no one perfect. Therefore, the public trust, that is just government, so we'll call this justice, the justice of reason and morals, like every man has this created in the image of God, Betzelemnu, Kedemutnu. Everybody has the ability to do this, but most men go this direction rather than this direction. So, unfortunately, the Jews were called to be separated from this world, but they actually were part of this world because they were whorish. Now, and I'm not picking on anybody, but the Roman Catholic Church followed the mother of harlots, which took place in Babylon, the Whore of Babylon. This is called the Whore of Babylon. The Whore of Babylon is not the Pope. The Whore of Babylon is a religion that looks true because it was to be the wife of God over on his right hand, where he takes care of his own household, his own family. But the rest of the world didn't want to be part of his household or family. And so the natural trust, which doesn't say good or evil, it doesn't know the difference between good and evil. The natural trust knows there is such a thing, but it doesn't know if there's one God or 1,000 gods. It doesn't know any given action that we do, is it right or wrong? And so the light of Israel was not good enough to perfect anybody. But perfect love over here is that instead of man, human nature, even in its best state, whether it's the public trust or whether it's the religion of Israel, which had all of his laws perfectly, not just written on the heart of every man, but written on stone. So they knew exactly what God wanted. Love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, horizontal, vertical. So they knew, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength, and that's with all your heart and soul and body, but then, and also have this fruit, love every man, every neighbor as yourself. But it was done according to the letter. It was done externally. And so this is lip service, but your heart is far from me. And so the Catholic religion also fits in here, has the name of Christ. It has the name of being God's people, but actually it has gone astray because it went under the law. So you have Catholic legalism. You have Jewish hypocrisy, Catholic legalism, and then also Protestant doesn't do any better, because Protestant, another daughter of the whore, is just simply the lukewarm church, which is half in the world and half in God. But lukewarm is not enough to overthrow Satan's realm. So here's Satan's lawless realm. Satan over here wants to incarnate himself in some Antichrist figure. And so his kingdom over here, Satan's dark kingdom, Satan's kingdom, cannot be overthrown by anything under law. In other words, everything under law, Satan's kingdom can take and will take. Absolutely guaranteed that nothing here in nature, nothing here in the public trust, nothing here in the religions of this world, no matter what they are, whether they're all the products of I'm going to write down Baal here, because Baal was the original religion that Nimrod made up, invented, created by himself without God. He doesn't need God. So these are the lawless ones. These are the ones that are Satan's kingdom of lawlessness. In other words, they have laws all over the place, but their laws are not under, submitted to God's left hand. So the left hand is the law of law and judgment. Law and judgment. So everything over here, judgment. Everything over here is subject to the law of sin and death. You sin, you die. So to avoid that, man decided to save himself, whether it's man at his best state or man at his worst state. Doesn't make any difference. They're the same. They're absolutely the same. They end up in the same place, because they build on human nature. Whether human nature good or human nature evil, they decided. But God says all of this is evil because it isn't perfect. This is the only thing that I call good. So over here, he has had to redeem us, and then not only to redeem us by justification, then sanctification, then glorification, till we're perfected in love, but he is the only one that can do it, and you can't do a thing about it. You cannot overthrow this in and of yourself, because human nature can't do it. But God can do it. God's free. So over here, we have freedom to do what God wants. Freedom is given to everybody, of course. But all men use their freedom. They use their freedom to do that which was evil. In other words, not submit to God, not rely upon God. In all of our ways, not acknowledge him. Now, this group at least tries. So these are the meek. They're under God's authority. They're under the natural law. So they regard the natural law, and if they're a public trust, they also regard that this would be the best foundation. If you had men of God under Jesus Christ, men in Christ, the new creation in Christ, you could actually have a foundation that would last forever. In other words, Satan couldn't overthrow it. But without Christ in the foundation, without Christians in the foundation, just having lukewarm Christians or Roman Catholic legalists or hypocritical Jews. None of that is going to make a strong foundation for the public trust under the natural trust. So the public trust must be under the higher laws of nature and of nature's God. So this is the true trust and the only trust that could be a foundation. Abraham used to live here in this part of the trust system, and he lived in a place called Ur, which is the same thing. It just means the light of confusion. He lived in a place called Ur, which is the same thing as Nimrod's kingdom in Babel, the Tower of Babel. Here is the proud Tower of Babel that man can build up, perfect himself without God. Wonderful idea, never works. You only produce corruption. So it may speak of heaven, but it produces hell. So there's confusion over here, and so God confused the language so that men could not make this work. So this one was called to restrain. So here we are restraining the gates of hell, but we cannot conquer them, only under human reason, human morals, human justice, the meek. Even though they're the meek, that's not true meekness. This is true meekness, where you do nothing. This is me doing as much as I can to please God. This is me not doing anything, letting God love me unconditionally with no works of my own, no works whatsoever. So this one is, come unto me, all you that labor, over here, and are heavy laden, over here, and I will give you rest, over here. So here we have the rest of God, the joy, the good news. All the burden goes to Jesus, and all the blessing goes to us. So that's a good husband-wife relationship right there. We do nothing, and he gives us everything. Free gift. Over here, you have to earn your way because you're under a law. The law of judgment and the law of not only judgment, but punishment. You're going to be punished if you don't behave. So here, we behave. Here, we misbehave, but Jesus behaves, and we trust in Jesus. So therefore, because of our faith, we are reckoned as righteous. Then he actually, by the power of the Holy Spirit, changes us, transforms us, and perfects us so that we walk in love in this world. And so we're the light and the truth in Christ as light and truth to the earth. The light is for the world, and the salt, so here's the salt. The salt is the truth of the gospel, which convicts the world of its wickedness and sin, even its religion. And here is the love, which is the fruit of that truth, truth spoken in love, truth spoken in love. So the purpose of the salt is to convict the world. The purpose of the light is to show the world this is the way. So come away from this, put this under your foundation. So here, this is the only foundation. Abraham was looking for a city which had a foundation. But sand is not the right foundation, a rock. Jesus Christ, he is the rock of our salvation, the cornerstone that's from the heavens. So a heavenly foundation under an earthly government would make it just, would make it a good government, a just government. However, not enough to destroy this, nor is nature itself, which stands over this. So the higher laws of the public trust are nature and nature's God. But this one is higher even than this one, even though this is first and this is last. This one comes last because he has saved the best to last. That's us. So you can see why God loves Texas. Well, that might have been the wrong translation. What God wants is these three trusts. We're under these three trusts. Now, everyone else is not. They're only under the natural trust, and they may go one way or the other. They may go lawless, or they may go to the law. But the problem with number three is that number three cannot destroy or conquer or overcome number two. It can restrain it, but only restrain it if the foundation strengthens it. So we are the hope of the world. Not we ourselves, but we submitted to Christ are the salt which knows the truth, which is the truth is human nature won't perfect. That's the truth. But God, who is perfect, can even perfect sinners. First by forgiving them, then by transforming them, and then by perfecting them so that they're a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing in these last days. Now, this was all put in time so that God knew that even though this would be last, it would be best. I have saved the best to the last. So that's you and me. Now, how many know that's a joke? Because you and me are no different than the people on the left. As a matter of fact, we're exactly like the people on the left. The only difference is that we trust in the Lord. That's it. Put your trust in the Lord. Happy is the man that puts his trust in the Lord. Happy is the man. Where's the rest of the happiness? Ain't. There ain't no happiness in this world. Now, ain't is not in the Bible. But Texans understand that word. So God does not want you to behave. God wants to keep a promise. So the difference up here is the difference between a command and a promise. Under the left hand, everything is a command. You do this, don't do that. Be one of these, don't be one of these. But nobody ever obeyed. Even those that disobeyed are actually no different than those that obeyed. Even man at his best state, under the whore of Babylon, Catholic legalism, Protestant lukewarmness, it's still not right. It's got to be perfect. So this is the perfect here. So this is all built on promise. Everything over here on the right hand is built on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, blah, blah, blah. All right? So over here are all the promises of God, something he must do, nothing that we must do. Depends on who he makes the promise to. Sinners. Well, that would include everybody. But not everybody believes or trusts in the Lord. But we do. So we have faith in this man's promise, first to Abraham, and then fulfilled by Jesus Christ later. Jesus was the rock that Abraham was to have fulfill his promise that he received from God, the covenant. So this covenant, God says, I can't lie, and I have a right. I reserve this right. As God, I reserve the right to forgive any sinner. I would forgive this sinner, this sinner, this sinner. I'll forgive anybody, whether they kept my law or broke my law. I will love sinners. God forgives sinners. And so here we are, sinners, but sinners that are saved by grace. Sinners that are saved by grace. In other words, we allow God to forgive us, then to change us and transform us. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another, beholding him, not ourselves. And therefore, he can perfect us, just men made perfect in law. Justification, sanctification, glorification. All three, a process, not a one-time event. So faith has to be active in love or it's not faith. If faith is just faith in myself behaving, that would be over here, under a law. But faith is not a law. Faith is the opposite of a law. Faith is always in the promises of God, not in the promises of man. So the faith keepers or the promise keepers are ridiculous. So those that, however sincere they are, and they are sincere, know that they're sincere. I think there was 50,000 men or something, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, that met here in the old Cowboys Stadium, and I went. And they all promised to behave, and they all promised to do what Jesus said, and they all promised to be good Christian husbands, because they were all men, be good Christians to, you know, to not only their wives, but also they would account to one another. Well, I don't believe in any of that. I don't believe men can account to men. Mm-hmm. Did you hear what I just said? I believe that you only account to God, period, over, out. And I believe that God is the only one that can perfect you. And I believe when a man is lording it over another man, saying, hey, you got to account to me, that's baloney. You don't have two gods. You only have one God. Amen. Now, I'm ruthless. I am ruthless. Why? Because I believe what Bible says, period. Yeah. I'm not smarter than anybody. I'm not better than anybody. I'm worse. I'm not gooder than anybody. I don't have anything. I have nothing going for me except what the Bible says, and I believe the Bible. I take it literally. Just what it says, that's what it says. I have all the education in the world. It is zero, worth nothing. It is rubbish. Why? Not because it doesn't have some value in this world. It has a lot of value in this world. That's why I did it. I tried to get as many degrees as possible just so I could be great and awesome and, you know, needful and all that kind of stuff. And people would worship me and admire me and gasp and so on and so forth. Well, it didn't work. I just tell you, that didn't work. Peggy, I couldn't even get past Peggy. Peggy, do you know how many degrees I have? Can you say Heilsgeschichte? See, you don't know. You don't know your Latin, your German, your Greek, your Hebrew. You don't know. You don't know all those things. And I know all of them. And I have all that study, and it's rubbish. I count everything, Paul says, as dung for the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ. Now, that word in the Greek is gnosis or gnosis, and it means to have an intimate relationship with not an object, but with another person. So to know God is to know him from the heart and the soul and the body in every way, so that as he knows us, so we also can know him. And he created you that way naturally in the natural trust. Every man is created to be able to worship God and love the neighbor. That's written on your heart. You can't even erase that. You cannot destroy that. So nothing over here is going to be destroyed while we're in this world. So the only secret is not the mystery of iniquity here. The only secret is this is not sufficient to destroy this. But this is the mystery of righteousness. That righteousness doesn't come by the law, nor does it come by nature. We are neither under a law, nor are we under the natural law that all men are under. Even though we were born here, we were reborn here to become a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away, the new has come. So when you behave yourself, you've missed God. Everyone who behaves himself, number one or number three, everyone who behaves himself instead of number two, you get no credit. Zero credit for not being a one or a two. Now, I call number four A and B, meaning Judaism, Catholicism, and Protestantism. Those three things are not perfected because they're still all under the law. So I put them in a weird position there. They're a big confusion to this world. What are those religions? And why are they any different than Baalism? Baalism under the number two, Baalism, is just what Nimrod came up with, is to put religion underneath the state so that each would benefit. The religion would benefit because they don't have any power. So the violence of this public sword of Nimrod could be used to kill off all of the enemies. Now, today in our world today, the extremist Muslims, not all Muslims, but the extremists, the bad ones, the ones that are violent, they actually believe they're doing God a favor. They actually believe they're the true Muslims. Now, they're only, let's say, 5%, 6%, 10%, you know, whatever. Who cares? But 10% of 1.6 billion is a lot. It's a lot. So let's just say for fun that there's 10. I don't even know that there is. I don't even think there is. But regardless of what the number is, that's hundreds of millions when you got 1.6 billion. And so therefore, everything that Satan has in mind, the Antichrist, he's not called anti-Semitic. He is anti-Semitic, but that's because he doesn't like the idea that the Jews are separate or different. So he wants to swallow them up and create a unity over everybody. But he's called in the Bible, New Testament, anti-not Israel, but anti-Jesus. Now remember, Jesus is the Messiah of Israel. Christ just means Messiah. So Christos in Greek is the same as HaMashiach in Hebrew. So those two languages, you see how smart I am? Those two languages mean the same thing. So I'm reducing my smarts to nothing which is there are four things up there and only one of them counts. The other three don't. So you cannot stop being natural in this world. There is a natural law. But you know what? You're not subject to it. You're not subject to the left hand of God. You're subject to the right hand of God. On the right hand, you're the bride, and therefore, since you're the bride of Christ, and you're the wife of God, since that's all true, you don't have to do anything. As a matter of fact, he doesn't want you to do anything. As a matter of fact, you can't do anything. All that you do, apart from me, you can do nothing. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, trying to do things, being over here on the left hand. Get over on the right hand. How many know it's better to be right than left? It's better to be right with God rather than be left in the other guy's camp. Amen. So you have to come out of the camp of the law and get into the outside the camp, outside the camp, into the freedom place where Jesus Christ and his gospel reign supreme. This is all good news. Everything on this side is good and evil. Now, I know this is good, that's evil. Everything on this side is evil. So everything under the left hand of God is evil. Why is it evil? Because first of all, even the natural law, which is good, but it's good only for this world, and the good that it does is convict you that you're evil. That's about it. That's its only goodness. So it really can't make a man perfect. Therefore, it's evil. Anything that isn't perfect is evil in God's sight. So you should never eat of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, because you don't know what good is. You think being moral is good. You're wrong. You think being rational is good. You're wrong. You think that being the best is wrong. You cannot be anything because you cannot do anything. So it's a free gift from God. You don't pay for it. Amen. Everything's free. Amen. Everything's free. You can be a scoundrel. I believe three or four of you probably are. Okay, right here. Chad, I got one. Number two, right here. Three and four. Well, five, six, seven. Oh, I got two. Oh, don't do it anymore. That's bad. That is very bad. Well, you know what? God doesn't want anybody to judge anybody else as being better than or worse than. We're all equal. We're all the same. Everybody is exactly the same except those on the right hand of God. They are called a new creation. Not part of the old, not part of the natural order, not part of the cultural order, not part of anything having to do with this world and human nature. So even though it was written on your heart, behave yourself. Everybody has that written on your heart. It's in your conscience. It's written right on your heart by the finger of God. Romans 2:15. It's written right on your heart. God has a real big finger, but he can write for that little bitty sperm that has just got, you know, this is right there, boop, got with the egg, boop. And he could write the moment that you were conceived 9 months before you were born. He could write that right on your heart. You belong to me. And I created you Kedemutnu, I created you Betselemnu, in the image and in the likeness of God. So you're mine. And I want you to give me everything. Well, that's a debt we can't pay. Because everybody under the natural trust can't do it. The natural law won't do it, is behave yourself. So what? It's just words. Behave yourself. How many know every little kid born in this world is going to sooner or later, within the first or second year, disobey deliberately, consciously, and knowingly? No. I don't want to. You go to bed right now. No. And that is big because they wanted to use that word ever since they were, you know, 9 months and they heard it. Yes. No. Kind of just shook them to the, you know, I thought you loved me kind of thing. Now, they can't talk yet. But they already know. I'm going to use that word someday. That is a powerful word. And it scared the heebie-jeebies out of me, you know. And they knew, I want to say that someday. No. So every little kid in the world is going to disobey. Everybody, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But yet God made us. There's nothing wrong with his making of us, putting us under that natural trust. He made us to worship him and love our neighbors and all that kind of thing. But none of us were good because we didn't know what good and evil was. You don't have the knowledge of good and evil. You don't have it, and God kept it. He hid it. He hided it in himself. Why? Because he wanted to reveal this later. How long did it take him to tell this story? Well, first of all, Everybody screwed up and screwed up and screwed up for about 1,659 years, according to the book of Genesis. And therefore, God flooded the whole thing out. But he did save out eight people. Thank God for eight. Those eight people were good people. No, they were not. And in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, 11th chapter, it says that Noah was a righteous man. So God says he was righteous, but not by his works. How many know that he got drunk right after the thing was over? I mean, the first thing he did was he set up a little grapevine thing. It takes about 4 or 5 years to get, you know, really good grapes. But anyway, in the first week, he got drunk right away. He said, hallelujah, Jesus. You know, I mean, he was so excited. And his younger son came in and saw that.
Yeah.
And he was horrified. My God. You know, in other words, he wasn't horrified by the nakedness of his father. He was horrified that his father was a bum, a drunken bum.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can get mad at people for being, you know, how stupid can you be?
Amen.
And he came out and told his older brothers, you know, that dad's in there. He's naked as a jaybird.
Fool.
You know, that guy is an idiot. Yeah, he's a fool. But, you know, his brothers knew better, so they covered him up. So Ham, he's the one that messed up. He messed up, messed up big time. And kept Africa in the dark for years, centuries, millennia. Mm-hmm. Hello? Mm-hmm. I want you to know something. That's you. That's you.
Yeah.
That's you. That's all of us. Even the two older brothers that pretended like they were better than he was, they also messed up. Why? Because if you think you're good, you're proud. If you're proud, well, you go to hell.
Yeah.
How many know that's not a good deal?
Yeah. Yeah.
How many here have been proud?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. How many of you are humble? You're afraid to say because you know you'd be proud of being humble. You know that. So you are proud too, everybody. You see, that net of Jesus is to capture everybody. In the Sermon on the Mount, he said stuff that caught everybody. Even if you've lusted in your heart, you've done it. You know, even if you know, he makes it, it's the same. You're going to have the same punishment. Huh? What about, I behave better. Last month I was horrible, but this month I've cleaned up my act. It doesn't mean anything. God hates action. He hates anything he doesn't do. Are you getting this down? It's so powerful. It'll set you free. This truth is going to set you free, is that God set up the world so no one would be righteous except God. He set it up that no one, not one. That sounds like not one. Not one sounds like not one. I don't know why. That may be hard to understand. Not one means not one. So if none is righteous, and then the English says, but God, it doesn't say that in the Greek. It says, no one is righteous, not any, except God. Not even one. Not even one. Nobody. The Pope, you know, Pastor Jim. It says nobody's righteous. And since that's the case, since no one is righteous, that means there is no such thing as behaving yourself. So when someone misbehaves, it's the same as someone that behaves. That's why they killed Jesus. They killed Jesus. They said he's saying that we're not good and righteous. We've done all the Jewish law. We're behaving. We wanted to do bad things, but we didn't do them. We suppressed our flesh. We killed and crucified our flesh. No, you didn't. All you did was suppress it. You just pushed the dirt under the rug. You just moved all the stuff into the closet. You just cleaned up the living room. You appeared to be something. You just put fig leaves over your nakedness. But God sees right through all those rugs and fig leaves and everything else that we do. How many of you know we're all equally wicked? We are. They're the worst guy over here, that's us. The best guy over here, we're not there unless you're there by faith. The only way you can do it is have faith in a promise. You don't have faith in a law. Stop, I believe. No. When you see a stop, that's a command. Don't. Okay? Or pay. That's another command.
Yeah.
Only that's, you have to do it, one.
Yeah.
So one's called proscriptive. The other's called prescriptive. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God has never given a prescriptive law that anyone has ever done. And I'm going to say it even differently. He never gave a prescriptive law. He never gave a prescriptive law. Do this. In the Garden of Eden, did he have any tree that he said, you shall eat? No, he had a tree that he said, you shall not eat. Then he had a tree that said, you may eat. But he had no tree that said, you shall eat. Why? Because he doesn't give laws. God is not a law giver. Even though God is our law giver, the first thing you learn when he says, put that shirt off, is you're going to want to put it on. Even if you didn't do it, you want to put it on. Well, wear this shirt. You're going to church and you're not wearing that dirty shirt. I like this shirt. You know, and some little kid is going to disobey the parent, and even if they actually put on the white shirt, they're going to go into the first mud puddle and get it dirty before you even get into church. Because there's just something about a little kid that says, don't you step in the mud puddle. Okay. And then the minute they get out, they're just stepping in the mud puddle. Why? Because Bobby did it. You know. And so people are sinful. Hello? People are wicked. I mean, the Methodists. Not us. No. The only way you can get on the right side of God is to do what is right. No. Not true. Or it is true if you understand it this way. Because this is the proscriptive side. You'll see that all of God's laws are proscriptive. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. None of them are prescriptive. Thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt. But you say there is one that says, you shall love your neighbor. Okay? You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's a promise. That is not a law. That's a promise. You shall is not like, you shall love the Lord thy God or you're going to hell. He didn't say that. Did he say, if you eat the tree, I'll kill you? Did he say, if you eat of this tree, I'm going to kill you. The day you eat of it, I will kill you. Did he say that? No. What did he say? The day you eat of it, you will die. Why? Because you built it on human nature instead of on God. You should have waited for God's promise. Actually, did you know that from the beginning, God created a promise? From the very beginning. Remember he said, in your seed shall the serpent's head be crushed. Now, as I'm telling you something, that's the truth. Believe it. Yes. Believe what I'm telling you. So God never, there are no laws in heaven. There are no stop signs. There's no dirt. There's no sweeping. There's no cooking. There's nothing in heaven. Angels do it. Angels do it. Those slaves. I wish we had some of those down here. You know, just someone you could call upon. Hey, clean it up. Fix it up. But God can just do it with a word. Whew, you know, there it is. Of course, man is now trying to produce that with all of its computers and its stuff. You can just talk to it and it does what you want, and robots, you know, going around sweeping up. And isn't it amazing how much man can do without God? The ultimate purpose of the computer, the ultimate purpose was deception.
That's right.
Illusion. The ultimate deception is to put you on the screen as though you were real when you're not. Mm-hmm. It's not you. But they just change the face and put you on something else. And they can do that. I'm amazed at the commercials these days. You ever watch the commercials? They're so fascinating how they can make something turn into something else and then something else. And there's no like gap between it. It just does it somehow. Little things come out of the air and butterflies and so on and so forth. And it's amazing to me. Have you not marveled over some of that stuff? It's like it looks real. But it's not. It's all made up. I say, wow, that looks real. It's a computer. Oh, it is? So there really aren't dinosaurs again in Jurassic Park? No, it's just all computer generated. Oh, that looked real. That scared me. I was there, whoa, like that. I was going like, whoa. I don't want one of those things. You have nightmares over that kind of stuff. But it's an illusion. How many know that the devil is nothing? That all this stuff is just going to pass away. It never existed. In the eyes of God, the wicked don't even exist. They have no life.
Yeah.
Not only not in themselves, but in a relationship with Jesus. But we have the law of the Spirit of life. Life, life, l'chaim. How many know that that kind of life is something man can't get? In Hebrew, l'chaim is the word for life. And it's similar to our word Zoe, but we know Zoe is not perfect. Our Zoe. Zoe, I was thinking of you. But she has the name Life. But actually, she's naughty at times. Am I right, Zoe? She's got half of it. Good for her. That's good. How many are up to half? How many know that half doesn't count? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God wants perfection. He said, be ye perfect as I am perfect. Well, the Jews didn't. The Catholics didn't. The Protestants didn't. All of the Baalists didn't. So nobody did what he said. Why? Because we're all rebellious. Every one of us has rebelled against God. You can only come into a promise. Listen carefully. When you give a promise, you direct it towards somebody. Sometimes you write it on a piece of paper. Like at Christmas, you get a gift. It'll have your name on it. So it's kind of like God was saying, I'm going to give a promise. And he says, dear Alice or dear Bob or whatever, sinner. He always puts that accurate, sinner. Now, in our case, he would write saint. But what he means is sinner who became a saint by believing in Jesus who didn't sin. Because that's what we are. We're still, how many know Christians still sin? So even though you're called a saint, it actually isn't true at all by eyesight. Because by eyesight and by my own knowledge, I know I had a bad thought. But yet we can fake it with people and get away with it. But you can't fake it with yourself. Did you know that your conscience will trouble you? And even if you blunt it, even if you sear it, even if you, you know, educate it not to talk, it still can hum, you know. So you cannot get rid of your conscience, and you'll have a nightmare that night that when you were awake, you could keep down. But when you go to bed at night, it's going to be there. And also, life experiences will just prove to you there's something wrong. There's something wrong. You're not being protected by God. And things will just happen to kind of wake you up, because that conscience, even if it only has a little bleep, bleep, even if it only has a little thing, it's still saying, what's wrong? And it can talk to you, that natural conscience, it can talk to you all the way to heaven. All the way to the other place. Now, that conscience actually has registered on the synapses of your brain everything. It remembers everything you said and did. Have you ever had this experience? I have. My whole life one day went before me in, I don't know, 4 or 5 seconds. I remember everything that I did wrong. I don't know how it happens. It's impossible to even describe. But I suddenly saw every time I lied and so on, it was really fast. And I saw my whole life, this is where you compromised, this is where you did wrong. And it was all right there. I was standing on a ladder at the time, and I almost fell off the ladder. It was like so amazing. I realized God was showing me everything about me was vain, empty, evil, nasty. And he literally showed me everything. I got down off the ladder and began to write down for the next 3 hours everything that he showed me in 4 seconds, whatever it was. It was amazing to me. How many know that God has a record of everything you ever said and did? He knows everything you've thought, even if you hid it from yourself, you didn't hide it from God. So he doesn't need to have anything when you get before him someday and says, how do you plead? You want to say innocent. And then he'll ask you, on what basis? Because I'm opening the law book here, and you want to say, wrong book. You want to say, wrong book. Lamb's Book of Life, where only faith, faith only, sola fide, only faith.
That's right.
No, you're reading the wrong book, Judge. I'm trying to correct you. I'm just trying to remind you. I'm in that other book. Yeah. That one trumps that one. I want equity. Am I in a court of law or in a court of equity? I want to be in a court of equity where everything is merciful. Yeah, that's the one I want to be under. I want to be under the right hand of mercy and power of the Holy Ghost. That's the one I want. Where I don't do anything. He gives me the mercy through the cross of Jesus Christ as my Savior, and he also gives me power through the Holy Ghost that comes in and changes me without me helping.
Amen.
And without me, he perfects me. And without me, he does everything. Wow! That is a joyful, praiseworthy, thank you, praise you, I adore you, That is Christianity. That is the truth that sets you free so that you're always worshiping every minute of every second of every day.
Amen.
Now, on September 11, a few days ago, as I was in prayer, God spoke to me and said, "Separate yourself unto me all the days of your life." He said that to me. In the minute that he spoke it, the second that he spoke it, the nanosecond, I immediately understood. And I said with joy, "Lord, I am separated wholly unto you from this moment on." I have been, but in that moment, it was a rhema. It came alive. God, that's who I really am. And that describes me. I remember it just ran through my mind. This is a description of who you are, not what you do, not what you don't do, not what you think, not what you feel, not what you want. This is a description from me to you. That's how I see you. I want you to be separated unto me. I want you out of this whole world over here. You are not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. You're in my kingdom. You're a new creation. The old has passed away. Not the old is passing away. The old has passed away. And by the way, the Bible uses very seldom the perfect tense. But in this case, it uses the past perfect. Old things are passed away. And the present perfect. Did I say past? I don't know what I said. Past perfect? It's the perfect past. And it's the perfect present. Old things are passed away. New things are come.
Yeah.
They're here. It's true. You don't see it, but you'll have to believe it. I see it already. Yeah. Jesus said to Thomas, "It's not he who sees that believes, mm-hmm. but he who believes mm-hmm. that sees."
Hallelujah.
That's right.
So we have spiritual insight into who we are. Do we look like, act like, smell like, talk like, walk like new creations? No. I mean, no, you see sin in the person sitting next to you that they don't see. Because you have the gift of seeing other people's sins, of saying, "Wow, that person is such a fake. I wish she wouldn't wear red. It doesn't suit her at all." And I have that gift. I have that gift. It's incredible. Jenny, I am so good at that. I can just look at somebody and see right away what's wrong. I don't know. It's just, I won't say it comes natural. I think it's a gift of the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
They call that the gift of discernment. Yeah. No, that is not. That is evil.
Yeah. It,
because you know why? We're supposed to be looking at God all the time. Yeah. Beholding Him,
right.
We are changed.
Yes.
Beholding yourself, beholding Him,
yeah.
No.
Don't
behold anything but Jesus.
Yes.
I mean, no, Jesus is so beautiful, so wonderful, so glorious, so powerful, so wise, so excellent, so perfect.
Yes.
Think on those things.
Yes.
Don't be thinking about yourself. Thinking about Jesus.
Stay.
Why? Because you'll be changed.
Yes.
That's how you change. You don't change by changing.
Yes.
You change by looking at Him that doesn't change. Jesus doesn't change. The Father never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, forever.
Amen. That's right.
So, we don't have a new message because there isn't a new message. There's just this old message that started in the Garden of Eden from the very beginning. God never intended. In fact, it starts before this world even existed. Jesus Christ was laid down by the Father for your perfection, for your mercy, for your changing before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
He knew you by name.
Amen.
He knew what you'd be called. How many times you'd change your name. He knew how you'd, you know, wear makeup. He knew everything you ever thought, said, and did. But yet He said, "I'm going to go ahead and create the world. I'm going to create it knowing all the evil that's going to happen. I know this whole story. I know all of them. And as a matter of fact, to prove it, I'm going to tell them that there's only 7 days in a week. Meaning, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 7,000 years. We're already past 6,000 years. Literally. You can read it in the Bible. I've done it 100 times. You can read all the numbers in the Bible, and they add up to less than 7,000. But we're in the 7,000th now, which is the millennium. We're already there. We're already there. But He didn't say, because He's very clear, He didn't say, "I will come back at the first moment of the millennium. Because it's just a day to God. He just said, on the third day, he said this in Hosea 6th chapter, 2nd verse. He said, on the third day, that's when the Antichrist will come, and that's when I'll come back. As soon as he does his thing, 3.5 years, 1,260 days, 42 months. As soon as he does his thing, Jacob's trouble, purifying of the sons of Levi, I will destroy all the works of the enemy. Now, when he comes back, he's going to snatch or take or seize his bride and check her out to see whether she's got any sin in her. Judy, do you have any sin in you? No. The answer is no. Don't give that wrong answer. Yeah, right. Yeah. You're a new creation. Me? What? You know, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come.
That's right.
Do you believe that? Not do you see it? Do you act like it? Do you smell like it? And so on. It's not talking about you. Don't look at you thinking. Human nature will never be perfected. Human nature cannot be perfected apart from Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Who will, the first thing he'll do is forgive you. The second thing he'll do is kill you.
My sins have been remission.
That's what sanctification means. Your death. Crucify every day. Take up your cross every day. I die daily, Paul says. Every day, your flesh. Why? So that it can't rule.
Yes.
It won't rule. It can't rule.
That's right.
It cannot rule. Did you know that anyone born of God cannot sin? Now that is the aorist in the Greek language, meaning you cannot continue in that sin. You can sin, but the Holy Ghost is going to tell you, oop, you just sinned. I don't even need my conscience. He will reinforce my conscience and say, Jim, you just sinned. How many know as Christians, your sins are more deep than the pagan? Most of the pagans are like, yeah, I sinned, but I'll make up for it. Or, you know, I sinned, give me another drink. You know, the pagans are not really bothered by their paganism. Have you ever noticed that about people that are wicked? They didn't even bother them. They're just going, hey, what do I do next? You know, well, she's gone. I'll get another one. You know, they're not at all disturbed. We're disturbed over the smallest sins, right? Well, I went to church, but I was thinking about something else. You know, we're disturbed by that. I don't think there's one pagan that thinks about that. Well, I didn't go to church today. That's why this accident happened. I don't think the pagans are even concerned about that. I think they're just thinking, you know, hey, where's the beer? You know, whatever. They're not really, really disturbed or worried about their behavior.
No.
I mean, you know, their behavior stinketh, but they don't care.
Yeah.
Who's God? You know, where is God? The fool says in his heart, there is no God. That's a fool. And this whole world is foolish. You know why they are foolish today? You know why? You know why they're foolish and why they're wicked? It's because you, the light, didn't shine. It's because you, the one who knew the truth, did not tell the truth in love to them so that they saw. By your life, we can see we're wrong. That's what God wants. He wants us to do that. Can you help him? No. You can't help him. All you can do is believe. Do you really believe that you're a new creation? David, do you believe you're a new creation?
Yes.
Amen. It's quick. Not even a thought. Not even a hesitation. Danny?
Yes.
Do you think you're a new creation?
Yes.
Amen.
Professor David.
Hey, praise God. And you said, and it was humble, too, the way you said it. It was humble. It was humble. Tommy? Do you believe you're a new creation?
As long as I keep that old man down, I do.
if you can do it, amen. You see, Jesus, when he died on the cross, it's over. The second that he died on the cross, he said these things. Before he did, just before he died, he said these things. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Did you know that he'll forgive anybody on this side? I don't care how gross they are, how bad they are, how evil they are. He will forgive. Why? Because he prepaid for everybody. He didn't say, for God so loved the church. He didn't say, for God so loved, you know, the Christians. He didn't say that. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish. I don't care what you've done over here or haven't done or how nice you are, how nasty you are. It doesn't matter. He's already said, My son is your righteousness. You don't have any of your own. I don't want any of yours. I want only what my son did to count for you.
Amen. That's right.
So rely upon that. Put your faith in that. Put your hope in that. That's your rock. That is not shifting sand that changes, built on you. The whole world is built on sand. All the laws of this world are sand laws. We have the only laws that are rock solid. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which has set you free from the law of sin and death. You can sin, you will not die. I may know that some of you have. Some of you have. Some of you have sinned, and you did it deliberately. And a few of you have done two or three times, and you even promised them after the first one, I won't do that anymore, and you did it again. And you did it within an hour. I mean, I don't have any specific things in mind, but I just can tell you that sin lieth at the door. It's just seeking whom to devour. And here's how you do it. You just go, I don't care. Jesus Christ died for me. Now, when you say, I don't care, that sounds frivolous. It cost Jesus everything. Not frivolous at all. It wasn't cheap. That's not cheap grace. That's expensive grace. Because Jesus said, Jim is so precious. And Alan, too, on his birthday. Just on your birthday. Precious, yeah. Yesterday, forget those things that lie behind. From your birthday on, he is totally in love with Alan. He's worth it. I will die 1,000,000,000 times for anybody at any time that if they would just simply turn based on what? Works? No. Based on faith. Just believe. He's not saying obey me. He's saying trust me.
That's right.
Just, Jim, just trust me. Trust me. What I promise, I swear, I do.
Hallelujah.
In fact, it's already been done.
That's right.
2,000 years ago, it was done. Jesus said, it's finished.
Finished.
It's finished.
Hallelujah.
It's not. I know you're a new creation. The old has passed away. Why? When Jesus died. The new has come. Why? Because Jesus rose. And so, on the day that everything passed away, that was Friday, and on Sunday morning, it was a new creation. And he was then the announcer. He was the announcer. Tetelestai, he said. Meaning, victory. All the debt has been paid, forgiven, gone. There is now no longer, not just for Christians. There weren't any Christians at that point. Handful of disciples that abandoned him and betrayed him and denied him and all that stuff. And then, you know, just ran away. But he didn't need anybody. He did that all alone just for you because God the Father told him, you die for them. Now, how many know some of you are worse than others? Not true. That's not true. That was a trick question. That was a trick question. How many know that God is a trickster too? When you read that Bible, I guarantee you, without understanding these three trusts, you cannot read that Bible accurately. He deliberately hides things so that no one sees them until a certain moment when he wants to reveal them. So even though what I told you is true, you can read it in the book, it doesn't mean it's true to you. And so some of you still don't get a hold of how new you are, how perfect you are in his sight. When I married Peggy, I didn't know she had two sins because she hid that from me. She did not tell me. One at age 4 and the other at 10 or something or other. But those two sins, I didn't know about that. But I loved her anyway without any doubt. She had doubts. She had a lot of doubts. But I had none. This is it, to the death, all the way. Everyone in my family, every single person in my family has been divorced and remarried and all that kind of junk. But I don't know why I got this idea. It must have been at the Bible school or something. But whatever it was, I decided, nope, this is for life. And whatever you do, stick with it.
Right.
How many know it's hard to stick with it? In fact, it's impossible for flesh to stick with it. You have to develop illusions or something to keep going.
Oh, yeah.
You do, Judy, you do. You have to, you cannot, that other person is going to somehow sin against you sooner or later, and you're going to see it. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah? Are you the one that caused her to?
Both ways.
Both ways? Mutual. Oh, boy. Don't tell your kids that. Don't let them know. Keep the kids in darkness as long as possible. Now, God is so good that he loves all mankind.
Yes.
I don't care what kind of sin you do or what kind of righteousness you pretend. It doesn't make any difference. Your only righteousness is Jesus Christ.
That's it.
That's it. Amen. That's God's truth. He said, I wish you would learn the way that the just are perfected. I wish you'd learn the path of the just. I wish you would learn that. Because everything you do doesn't get there. Everything I do does. Because it's a free gift. See, in this one, you climb Jacob's ladder to get up. It's a pyramid. You have to climb up from the bottom to the top. But in the other one, he comes down. You don't go up. Jacob never climbed that ladder. I am climbing Jacob's ladder. That's false. It's not in the Bible, by the way. The angels came up and down. They were ascending and descending. In other words, God's gate, singular, can overcome Satan's gates, the gates of hell. Everything in the whole world is subject to Satan's gates. There's nothing on this side of the equation up there, the division between government and government, left hand and right hand, promise and command. Everything on this left hand is subject to Satan. You say, well, how about good government? Won't that last? Yes, you're right. Everything isn't subject to him. What? One thing. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Here's the it. That the foundation that Abraham was looking for, that stood underneath this just government on earth, the attempt not to be wicked like this, they can't do that without this foundation, the rock of Jesus Christ. This foundation is the city that God was looking for, which hath foundations. So this city of the public trust, city, same word, civilization. This nation, this town, this city, this supernation, whatever, can only be built on this foundation or it falls. So this right now today in our government today, we are seeing this one encroach further and further on Texas government, on American constitutional limited government. You cannot stop it. There's no way you can stop it. I don't care if you vote. I don't care if you don't vote. There's only one way, and that is if God, out of his mercy, you got to pray to God for laborers in the harvest.
Amen. Yeah.
God, in his mercy, puts this foundation under it. It's there de jure. It's not there de facto. Today, you've got so many laws that eat up all of your liberties, including this one. They are now attacking ministers of the gospel. They're now attacking everybody to bring everybody under this unlimited, lawless, arbitrary government. Because it's built on human nature, let's unite everybody, not on God, but let's unite everybody without God. That's the Tower of Babel. Today, the Tower of Babel, through the Antichrist, is about to destroy everything in this world because he's against Christ. Because he doesn't want Jesus to rule. He doesn't want Jesus to be under the government. He doesn't want Jesus to be any part of this world. But you know what? Jesus already promised. So you either can live by a promise or you can live by a law. If you have to behave yourself and change the social, economic, and political situation, or if you have to convert all of the other people in the world, if you have to do it, it won't work. It'll never work. It's a gift. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'll give you everything else. Everything the Gentiles seek, I'll give you that. Don't even worry about that. Don't worry about the clothes on your back, the food you eat. Don't worry about anything this world seeks. I'll just give you that.
Yes.
That'll be a free gift of your light and your salt. When men see that you survive anything they throw at you, then the world will know by your good works. They give you evil, you give them good back.
Yes.
Let's say the person you're living with is not perfect. Just imagine. Just imagine that the person you're living with is not perfect. And you happen to notice, and you in your heart begin to judge and criticize them and think, if only they would listen to me.
If,
I see what's wrong here,
yes.
And if they would just do what I say, I've mentioned it several times. That hadn't happened to you. No. Because you don't want that baby to grow up with imperfect parents. Right. So I hope you married a perfect husband. Are you? No. He said it quietly, though. He said it very quietly. No. It's good. You know that God doesn't need our help? Isn't that amazing to have a God that doesn't need our help?
Amen.
I thought we were co-laborers with him and co-creators with him and helpers out of him. Aren't we the helper? You cannot save yourself. You cannot perfect yourself. You cannot be the Holy Ghost. You cannot do anything. Let God do it all. He's so good at it. Just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, his kingdom is a gift. Just take it. Just take it. Hey, I'll take it. I take that for myself. That sounds good. I like that. How many know that you cannot be good even if you try? I mean, there are certain people that it's obvious in, but there's others where it's not so obvious. You think, well, I'm halfway there, as Zoe said. She's not here, I noticed. That, I believe her half was wrong. I'm moving that percentage up. So it's 60-40 right now, but if she comes back in, we might give her a little forgiveness. All right. So God is so good. I tell you what, if you just boil it all down, here's the thing about God. Separating the law from the gospel was his greatest act ever. He divided his government into two parts. One, keep the law yourself, and I'll reward you. Two, don't keep the law, but let me keep my promise toward you. I birthed you, let me then perfect you. I mean, no, children should depend on their parents to perfect them. The children should not be the ones earning money. They should not be the ones, you know, trying to please their parents. Mom, did I do good? I hope I was okay. You know, they should be the ones that can be anything they want to be, and the parent loves them unconditionally. David, you have children like that. Sometimes they are not obedient, like the one sitting in the front row here. Two of them. And they're not perfect. Am I right? Yeah. It's a little nod, but I got it. But you love them unconditionally, and if they do something wrong, it's your responsibility.
Yes.
Just like Jesus. It's Christ-like. Do you all see this? We don't need perfect people. We're totally at home in this wicked, cold, nasty, vain world.
Amen.
Not a problem. Even the church is no better than the world. The church doesn't appear better. I mean, it would be, I tell you what, the church is probably the most hypocritical place to be. Because people are pretending there. I mean, a lot of you talk to each other while you're here or walking out, but as soon as you get out in the parking lot, it's different. Like, you behave yourself when you're in there, you know, and so on and so forth. And people take away the love of Jesus and forgiveness and mercy, and it just simply becomes behave. I remember I had my kids always sitting on the front row. David will remember this. I made them sit here on the very front row while all the other kids were running around the church and playing. And I said, you do not look or move or wiggle. You sit right here. Do you understand that? And so that was Pastor Jim speaking. And they, you know, just like this. And all the other kids, yeah, he'll have a Jesus. They could hardly wait to get to that microphone. They ran up there right away. You know, and they're just, it's great. And my kids, they had to behave outwardly. But inwardly, they could hardly wait. And they knew you had to be 21 to get out of our household. And so even Cara, I think she ran off before she was 21, finished her third year and said, I'm leaving right now. And I'm not going to get, you know, the regular degree like everybody else. I'm going to get an MRS degree right now. So she's married today with 8 children to take care of, and she's happy as all get out. Huh?
Amen.
Amen, yeah. But she actually is. But it's because of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's because her foundation is in Christ.
Yeah.
It's because, you know, when you're mature, you're mature. How many of us are mature? Well, you can't make yourself mature, but he can.
Yeah.
He swore an oath. The good work I began in you, I will surely complete. How many know that if he says he will surely make you perfect when the trumpet sounds, as soon as the trumpet sounds, you'll be perfected.
Amen.
If he says that, I believe it. And I'm going to live that way now. I'm going to start early. I'm going to be in the Head Start program? I'm going to be in that Head Start program. You know, I'm going to be already happy now. I don't have to wait for heaven to be happy heavenly right now. I don't have to see it to believe it. I have to believe it to see it. So, who learned anything today? Good. Anyone want to give a testimony? One. We don't have time. So, anyway.